Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Outer Rim. This is a very special episode. You know, I say that every episode. This is a horrible episode. You shouldn't listen to this at all. You should go run away right now, fleeing and screaming with your arms flailing wildly.
Okay, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah, that was easy, huh? We just lost we lost both of our listeners already. No, you know, everybody says, hey, we've got a great show for you this week. Well, if they're all great, then actually they're all just kind of average, right? So thought we'd change it up a little bit. We are also changing up the format a little bit this week because we have two very special guests with us from the Echo Base podcast, but we're going to make them wait a minute because we're mean. First of all, Andrea, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. The day is approaching and I'm very excited.
All right. Fred, how are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm getting really excited for the con. It's what, less than 2 weeks to go.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
All right. I'm Eric, of course, if you haven't figured that out already, and we are the Outer Rim podcast. But this week we are joined by the hosts of the Echo Base podcast for part two of our Star Wars Celebration survival guide. We have Tim and Lou. Tim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm a little frustrated because I was swearing at my armor for about half the day. But it's going. It's going.
Huh. Okay.
Grab a hammer and smack it.
That's how I fix computers. It should work for armor too. And let's face it, if it can't handle a hammer, what good is the armor?
Well, so does that mean that I can shoot Tim to see if it actually works?
And hit him with a hammer.
Yes.
With a blaster.
Yeah.
Yes. And you can literally take the blaster and hit him, use it as a bludgeoning tool. That works too.
So yep. Whoever's listening to this and you're going to Star Wars Celebration, if you ever feel very angry, just look for Tim, maybe Lou, and start hitting them.
Now hold on. Wow. Hold on. There are people who will actually do that. So
that was rough.
Let's rein it back a little bit and explain that we're joking. But I'm sure Lou's armor is doing great. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm a little stressed.
Yeah.
Aww.
I mean, I've got a little bit more to do, and I've got a little over a week to do it in. So,
see, this is why those of us who don't cosplay have it so much easier.
Well, you know, if the CRL had come out like months ago, it would have been a lot easier. We could have ordered stuff earlier and been all way ahead of the game.
Yeah. But
no, I'm excited. It's going to be an awesome time. I am happy with the way my armor is progressing. I've got a few more things to do, and I'm probably not going to have boots, so I'm thinking bunny slippers instead.
Yes.
I got to do something, so.
I don't know. I think bunny slippers could be an interesting cause, but you need porg slippers. Why has nobody made porg slippers yet?
Oh, there probably are.
I'm sure there are.
Does Andrew have them, though? That's the question.
Yes.
Oh.
Andrew, do you have pork slippers I can borrow?
No.
Okay.
Well, here's what we're going to do this week. While Andrea spends half the episode searching for pork slippers and the other half of the episode playing Star Wars Force Commander on her phone, we are going to be talking
Force
about...
Force Commander. Get it right. It's called Commander.
Whatever. We're going to be talking about some Star Wars Celebration news that has come up recently since we last recorded. And we are also going to attempt to explain the lottery system. And then we are going to move into the schedule for the panels. And then finally, we are going to wrap it up with some last minute tips for all of you who are going for the first time. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Lou to kind of guide us through the news discussion here. Yeah, you didn't know there'd be homework, did you?
No, I didn't.
I can throw it to Tim instead. Let's do that.
That's okay.
Lou, you lost your chance.
Tim, take it away.
All right. So what we have...
I know, Lou's got a big old smile on his face now.
So our news here, and we're staying topical, we're staying on brand, as the kids now say, with Star Wars Celebration news. So lotteries, and we're going to talk about lotteries in a little bit, but did want to put out there that both the panel and the exclusive merchandise lotteries are now up. For exclusives, in terms of the exclusive merchandise, Lego has a Vader bust. I think it's like a 2,500 piece Vader bust.
Yeah.
Hasbro
I'd like
is
to get that.
doing Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a nice size. Looks like it's a nice, you know, shelf display piece. Hasbro is doing a 2-pack of 6-inch Black Series figures, a Kenobi and Darth Maul. So they're kind of staying with the theme of episode one.
I'm looking forward to that one the most.
Yeah, that one's very cool. And then Funko, as far as I can tell, this is like one package, not a bunch of separate things that you buy.
Interesting. Really?
Yeah, which is really interesting.
I thought
they were individual. Are they individual?
I mean, I've never seen them do a huge pack like this, but they usually have exclusive stuff to the con, whatever con it is, they have exclusive items for that con.
Right.
But, you know, they have a bunch of blue ones and then a bunch of other ones, I think, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
They have a ton of stuff.
There are six what they're calling chrome blue pop figures, which are Leia, Yoda, Vader, a Stormtrooper, Boba Fett, and Chewbacca. And then in their just regular style of Funko Pops, there's also a new Darth Maul and a new Watto.
Those are what I want. I don't like the chrome ones. They don't appeal to me. I don't know.
I think they look cool. I mean, I don't collect Funko Pop stuff, so I probably wouldn't get them.
Do I?
Yeah. I do.
There's just too much Funko out there, and I'm a completionist. I'd never be able to do it.
I'm very selective, though. Like,
you
I
have to be.
Yeah, there's the Kingdom Hearts. I only get the main characters, and then the Star Wars. I want to get all the main characters. I don't want like the doubles and replicas. I just want one of each, and that's it, just to complete it. I'm good for that.
I have one and only one. It's a K2SO.
I don't have that one. Thank you.
I got it for Christmas. So the morning of each day, each major day. So we're not counting Thursday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Those are the large panels. And those are the ones that you have to get into the lottery or use the lottery to get into. And they've put out that all of those are going to be held in the celebration stage, which is obviously their biggest room. And they're all going to also be live streamed into the Galaxy and the Twin Sun stages. So those large panels include, let's see, on Friday, that's episode 9. On Saturday, that is the Galaxy's Edge panel. Sunday morning, that is the Mandalorian panel. And then on Monday morning, that's the episode 1 panel. So those are the ones, again, I mean, basically you can get into one of three stages to be able to get into them.
Mostly. And Tim, you mentioned
Some of them are not streaming to two stages. Some of them are streaming to one. But we'll get to that in the schedule.
Okay.
On the website, I saw they were all streaming to two.
But the website schedule says otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention, Tim said the lottery is open. Hopefully have this show up before the lottery closes, but it closes on at basically midnight of the 3rd. So at 11:59 p.m. Central Time on April 3rd, the lottery's close.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter when you enter. It's just before that deadline.
Yep. Let's see. Anthony Daniels has been announced. He's going to be doing a panel and, of course, autographs and photo ops. Hayden Christensen has been announced, I assume, for autographs and photo ops. And he may even be there for the episode 1 panel. That wouldn't surprise me. They've also announced a trio of folks from Rogue One that includes Forrest Whitaker, Riz Ahmed, and Alan Tudyk. And, of course, Alan Tudyk is doing a panel as well. Let's see. The upcoming novel, Master and Apprentice, written by Claudia Gray, they will have a Star Wars Celebration exclusive cover, which you can purchase at the Delray booth. And they kind of have a bit of a thing on how you get this. Apparently, you have to get to the Delray booth beforehand, and you can do this any day because they're going to be doing they're going to be kind of releasing a certain number of these each day. So they're not going to just run out the first day of them. You have to get a wristband, and then you can show up in line at a given time to get it. And I believe it's $45. You get the book, which is also signed by Claudia Gray, a Yoda tote bag, and a glow-in-the-dark enamel pin.
Ooh.
So that's kind of cool. Yeah, there's a lot there. And they also announced a bunch of pins, which you can get at exhibitor booths. And these, of course, like truly it's like watching a horse race. Like as soon as the doors open up to the exhibit hall every morning, people sprint through those doors to find the particular booths that are giving away exclusives. So these are going to go fast. These will go in the first 20 minutes of each morning. So just know that.
I have to say that my biggest regret from Celebration Orlando was trying to find the pins that I wanted. And I didn't even go for all of them. I just went for certain pins, and it was still, I regret it.
It's always is. I mean,
the can one I just tough. Say but that, we were looking at the pins and all that stuff. And Fred and I were like, oh no, it's too much. We can't get them, blah, blah, blah. And
these are for the pre-order ones.
Yes. So there were some really cool ones. They're pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And then the next day I get a message and he's like, I ordered all of them for you with the monkey face covering his eyes. So I'm really excited. Some of them were really awesome. And then I saw the pork ones and then I fell in love and I'm like, yes, I need to get my hands on those. So I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, the pins are really cool. I did order all the pre ones too. I'm waiting for some of them to show up. But I like the pins because they're small and they're unique, and I display them after the fact. You know, they're really cool.
I like
them.
You
look at how much you spend on them afterward. You're like, okay.
Well, but, it's not just the amount you spend, but it's also I spent so much of my time.
Oh yeah.
In line for these. I mean, I didn't think the lines were that bad for anything other than just me trying to get the pins. Those were the worst lines I stayed in. And I don't know how Tim is going to survive this convention at all. Tim, I don't know how Tim navigates a McDonald's, let alone a convention, because if the line has more than three people in it, then, you know, the obscenities start coming out. His face gets beat red. He starts patting his jeans down to see if he brought a weapon with him. Like it gets intense. So our whole last episode was all about the lines, and I'm like, but Tim, they're not that bad.
Oh, they are. I am not a person who has much patience for lines. So.
No, I see that.
So just to wrap this up, the exhibitor pins, which are available during the convention as exclusives, you can get, and these are all really nice, I think. There's an AT-AT driver, which is at the Bandai Namco booth, a TIE pilot, which is at the Heroes and Villains booth, Clone Trooper, which is at the EFX Collectibles booth. You can find Sabine at the Fantasy Flight booth. Ahsoka is at the Funko booth. Rose Tico at FYE. Leia is at Koto. And Mace is at Kotobukiya. They're the ones who do the cool maquettes with all the awesome detail.
Yeah, Kotobukiya stuff is really good quality.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty much wrapping up news. But I think we wanted to, before we jump into anything else, we want to talk about the lottery system, right?
Yeah. Why don't you guys explain that to me? Now, I unfortunately, I am wallowing in a pit of depression because I'm not getting to go to Celebration with you guys. So honestly, I have my experience with the Funko lottery from New York Comic Con was a nightmare. And the concept of it really angered me. So I've purposely kind of stayed away from this whole lottery thing. Why don't you guys explain to everyone what the lottery is for, how you navigate it? I know there have been some questions already in our Discord server about it. What can you tell us?
Do you want me to read it off what they have posted here on the website? Or
I don't know. If it would be helpful, yes. If it would just muddy the waters, then not so much. We should simplify it.
So basically it says, in order to enter the lottery, fans must have their original email address that they use to purchase the Star Wars Celebration badges with, mm-hmm. or the confirmation number that they used. Fans have to have these valid badges for their days for the chosen panels to take place in order to participate in the panel lotteries. Any remaining unclaimed admissions after the lottery period ends will be open for non-lottery day of advance panel reservations on the mobile app, which is coming soon. On the Celebration website. Well, that's what the website is saying.
The app has arrived.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Within the week before the convention. So don't get stressed about the app not being there yet. It's going to be a while.
the words that they choose to explain this paddle lottery is just, they could have simplified this a lot.
Yes.
Well, yes. I think lawyers got involved with the writing of it, so.
To make it hard.
Yeah.
To make sure they can't be sued, basically, I think.
I don't understand why we have to go in and register for a lottery through the website. Why didn't they just release the app and say, here, I'm entered. Just click the button using the code off the back of my pass.
That would have been easy. Because the app isn't ready yet.
Right.
Do they realize that they have 10 days?
Yeah, maybe not. And I suppose not everybody uses a mobile device. I mean, I find it hard to believe people at this convention won't be, but, you know, who knows?
I'll say last time around, the option
of doing it electronically, I mean, on the web.
The mobile app was okay, and there were ways in which it was helpful. But I found that we already had, like, the resources we had in play already were better. We had better communication set up through, at the time, our Slack server, and this time we've got Discord, plus text messaging and stuff like that. Not to toot my own horn, but I liked the spreadsheet that I had set up in Google Docs with the layout of all the panels and stuff, and I used primarily that. And then I kept a little piece of paper in my pocket, too, as an offline reminder of, okay, this is today's itinerary. I want to hit these stores. Yeah. These booths and these panels. And I found that the app was a lot of tapping and navigating around to things that I had already streamlined somewhere else. So, I mean, the app is nice and it's going to be fun to look through, and everybody's going to use it a lot on day one. And then on days 2 through 5, people are going to be like, oh yeah, I guess I could check the app.
I think the great thing, the benefit to the app is, if there is a change to the schedule, which is inevitable, and there's not often changes, but if they do, they will push an alert out on that and let you know. Mm-hmm. It's also handy because the apps have maps on them. So especially that first day, Eric, one, like you mentioned.
Yes.
But also like day one, I mean, there's a chance that you might only go to like 2 different panels. So, you know, day two, oh, I don't know where this room is. So you may still reference it. So there's maps on where the different rooms are, because of course they have their own names for the rooms, which are very, you know, Star Wars-esque. There's signs and everything that they tend to put out in these places. So that can be helpful. And of course you can ask staff, but it is nice to know, you know, especially if you're like in the end of one panel and you're thinking, okay, I need to go to this other panel next. You pull up your map on the phone, you look, okay, I'm going to get out these doors. I'm going to turn left. I'm going to go up the stairs and it's going to be on my right. You know, just so you're kind of plotting your path and you know where you're going.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty surprised that they only, like, I haven't seen the app, so maybe it'll be different there, but they only have a list view of all the different panels. I really like what Eric has drafted here. It's basically a spreadsheet that looks like a very calendar view with all the different things that are happening at all the different stages. And it looks fantastic.
You know what?
This is easy.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that, you know, we've gotten positive feedback from it in the past. We've been using this format, this same document, in fact, since 2015. And what I'll do, I'll make it public to everybody as a view-only thing. And then if you want to save a copy, you can go into Google Docs and save a local copy to your own Google Docs that you can edit, you can export it, you can do whatever you want with it. We will share it up on the website. If you look in the show notes for this post, we'll have a link to it. And I'll probably... we'll make a link at randomchatter.com/SWC schedule.
Stand by, because I believe that our wonderful webmaster, Carrie, had already created a celebration page on our webpage.
Yes, and we will link to it there as well. But in the meantime, if you go to SWC schedule, we'll have it there too.
And we'll also put it up as a reminder. We have a public channel open up in our Discord server for Star Wars Celebration. So if you go to randomchatter.com/Discord, if you're not already in there, you can sign up that way. That gets you access to our public lobby, our show channels, and our Star Wars Celebration channel. So all of us are in there along with a bunch of other folks from the network and other listeners. And we're just kind of sharing ideas there, and we're going to do that all the way through Celebration.
Now, to clarify, you do not have to be a donor to the network. to get access to that channel, number one. And number two, feel free to invite any other family or friends who are also attending. And they're more than welcome to use that channel as well. And if we need to, once a convention starts, if we need to have a channel for meetups and another channel for discussion of content that you're seeing or something like that, we can expand that and make two or three channels to carry people through those handful of days. That's not a problem at all.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, we can make a separate group for a group of channels for Star Wars Celebration if the traffic justifies that. And that'll be something that you will just see that update automatically. There isn't anything additional you will have to do.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So, all right, where are we on the show notes here? Do we get everything covered from the news? And have we gone over the
lottery?
The lottery? Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the lottery. What seems to be... Let's break it down and simplify it. If you are going to Star Wars Celebration and you want to go to any of these big panels, which include the Phantom Menace 20th anniversary on Monday.
That's Monday. Yep.
The Episode 9 on Friday and The Mandalorian on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So those and are the two content-related ones.
Yeah, there's the Galaxy's Edge live at Disney Parks is on the Saturday.
That'll be on Saturday, mm-hmm. Yeah. So those four panels are the ones for which you need to lottery in. There are no panels beyond that, right? The closing ceremony does not have a lottery, correct?
No, correct. Those are the only four that are lottery.
Okay. So what do people need to do? They need to, you already mentioned, Fred, that they need to be logged in with the email that they used when they signed up to get the tickets and such.
So, yeah, you go to... the Star Wars Celebration page, and then there's a subsection for panel lotteries, which redirects to another website. And it gives you that click to enter this lottery. Following one of those links will take you to yet another website where it actually does the...
The collecting of the information and the processing.
Right.
Okay.
And then you have to, that's where you put in your email address.
Okay.
That you used, or it'll just say that you're not located. And then once you do that, well, I've already done it, so it's not going to let me do it again. But there, it will say that were found, you were registered, you can add up to five additional people. Like in my case, I added Andrea, and then it gave me a group code, and I assume I could hand that group code over to any of my friends that also want to join. And
okay.
I'm guessing the entire group will be approved together.
Well, no. See, if you read the fine print on that, unless I read it wrong, it does say that if you want to put a group code in there, it's for seating together. It says every member of your group has to have also won the lottery as well.
Okay.
So to clarify, the group code does not allow you to – it does not affect who gets in. It affects whether you can sit together.
Right.
Interesting.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense. Nitpicky. I mean, if three of us win the lottery, we all get together in line. You're going to sit together when you get in line. I don't understand.
Right.
I mean, unless I read that wrong.
Here's my biggest concern about all of this whole lottery thing, and maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit. With all due respect to Reed Pop, there was a lot of staff disorganization and staff communication problems at Orlando. There was some of it at Anaheim, though it was a little bit less at Anaheim than it was at Orlando. But this has been a thing going all the way back to my first Star Wars Celebration in 2005. I'm worried that because the system is so systematic and so rigid that if the staff are not really, really, really on top of it, which so far, I really hate to say this, but they haven't been, I'm worried that there's going to be just chaos. You're going to have people fighting over seats. Mm. Well, I have a group code. Well, so do we, and we're not giving up these seats. And it's going to be things like that. And it's going to be, you know, who has to go through what doors into what areas. And if you have this group code, oh no, you're in that other section. So you have to go back in the hallway and circle down around and come in through the doors on the other side. I see this looking great on paper.
It could be as like if I get seat 1A and that shows up in my app or whichever in my reservation. Yeah, that might work out pretty well. But if it is just, I get into the event or not, is that could be chaos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't understand how they're doing this if it's for seating, because I doubt they're assigned seats. I mean, I doubt they're reserved seating. So, right. You know, you're going to get in, the way it's always been for any kind of event. You get in line, and the earlier you are in line, the better you're going to get a seat, right? Yep. So if you're there with a group of people and you want to save a seat. That,
because even if it is reserved seating, the people are going to line up anyway because that's right. What they think they're supposed to do.
Yeah. And I mean, what this is preventing them from doing is waiting in line overnight. They don't want to have security. They don't want to have everybody on board for doing that, which, okay, I can see that. But I mean, you're taking away a big part of the convention experience, which is standing in line. Now, I don't want to sleep on a concrete floor myself, but some people do. Some people enjoy being in lines with all the other fans. Mm-hmm. You know, so the only thing this is doing is just alleviating Reed Papa having to provide security for everybody overnight.
Which is a big deal. Like, I don't want to diminish that. That mm-hmm. This is in Indianapolis, people were waiting in line overnight, like every night to get into different things. And mm-hmm. That was really a nightmare.
And it was the same thing in Orlando. They had an area you could queue up overnight. You had to be there by a certain time. You couldn't leave once you were there. It was inside the building. Right.
Right. So I think that with Chicago, there are different safety concerns probably that the local, mm-hmm. Jurisdiction doesn't want them to have people lined up overnight and out on the streets and things like that. There's safety concerns. You know, that makes a lot of sense. So I appreciate them wanting to go to the system. And I don't necessarily think the system is bad. I don't trust that it will be implemented well. That's my concern.
I think you're right, because this is only as good as how well trained the staff is to handle it.
Right.
If they don't have a well-trained staff to know where you need to be, who's got to be where, what the scenario is, and what the procedures are, it's going to be chaos.
Tim?
Yes?
So, I know that you've alluded to work conventions before as well, but I know that you've got some experience with larger events like this and such, and I know you hate waiting in line a lot.
Yep.
So, I know that you're very excited about this, but you also had some pretty specific concerns about the organization of things at Orlando as well. And I'm curious as to what your thoughts are on this and whether or not your happiness at the possibility of not having to do long lines for these big panels may be skewing your perception of the reality of this falling apart at the seams. And I'm wondering where in that scale you fall. Where in that spectrum?
Well, I think that they, with the lottery system, I think that they have a good system established. Are people ultimately going to be happy with it in the end? I don't know. But the system, I think, is going to work as it's designed to. There's always the human factor that's involved in it, regardless of how automated this actually is. And in that human factor, you have how the celebration staff handle this and how attendees may cause problems. And I don't necessarily mean to skew that with a negative connotation. It may mean, hey, the four of us were in a group together, but, you know, person number three didn't get approved to get into this panel.
Not intentionally causing problems, but problematic complications.
Right, right. And maybe people are being honest, maybe they're not, who knows. But the thing is, when you have a large number of people, and in this case, you're going to have several tens of thousands of people, there's always going to be some measure of lines. So, you know, this doesn't get rid of lines. But what this does do, I think, is that this reduces the number of lines that you have to stand in to get into one of these panels. You're not having to stand in a line for many hours just to get a wristband, which you may or may not get. I mean, for these big panels, they would run out of wristbands. You very well could stand in line for 3 or 4 hours to get a wristband, and the person in front of you gets the last one.
Mm-hmm. Prevents you in some conventions, not this one in particular, but there have been cases before where people then were the second to last person to get the wristband and there were none left, but that also prevented them from getting a wristband in what would have been their second choice and their third choice, because now all of those lines are gone through too.
Yeah. So, I mean, not only is that hugely frustrating, but that's also an epic waste of time.
Right.
So you know, when they first put this lottery system out, when they first announced it, they did not allow groups. And there was a pretty significant pushback in it, which I mean, I kind of stand corrected on, because initially when that pushback was out there, my reaction on social media was, you know, big deal. But then after listening to some people and kind of understanding things, it was, well, okay, you know, you're there with your friends, you're there with, you're there as a couple, you're there, whatever. And, you know, someone, one of you gets into the lottery, the other one does not. Well, that's kind of disappointing. And yeah, you do want to enjoy a con with your friends. So I think, I do think that it's great that they listened and they are very reactive to it. I hope that their quick turnaround on making this change doesn't screw their system up. So I hope that they, well, they, their new system or their revised system is well thought out and allows you to have, I think, six people in a group, which is pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
Have it, Tim. I still don't think that changed the situation, because if we're going as a pair and you win the lottery and I don't, and you have a group code, I still can't get in.
Yeah.
Okay. So it says right here that if a panel lottery is won, the winning group and the others in that group, up to a maximum of six, will win admission to that specific panel. So I don't think there's anything to worry about, well, if you're submitting as a group.
Winning group. Like if you win and you're in a group and I win and I'm in that group and Lou doesn't win, giving him you're the code still... doesn't necessarily no, bring I, Lou I, into the I, group, does
I,
it?
Think you're winning. I think that there may have been some type of, well, and we've already found that there are certain things on the website that say A, and then you go someplace else on the website that it says B.
But this is exactly why this bothers me.
The point of the whole grouped concept is that you can go as a group. So if you're all using the group code. So like Lou and I registered for these panels using the group code, then it's the group code that wins. It's not Lou that wins. It's not Tim that wins. It's the group code that wins.
Okay.
And I mean, so that's ideally how it should be. But yeah, yes, Lou, I totally understand that,
but
that there's a part of the website that says that you have to win and I have to win to be able to go for the group to qualify, which just seems nonsensical. So they're just things on there that are weird.
I guess my point is there shouldn't be this much confusion.
Right.
The whole point of this is to simplify it and to make it easier on people. And instead, and this isn't the only question that's come up too. Erasure in the Discord server has questions about, he's got three kids and the kids are young enough that they don't have to get their own passes.
Right.
And he's like, okay, well, does that mean they get into the panel as well? And he's been trying to contact support to get answers to it. And he's had problems getting through to anybody.
Oh boy.
And then he was told by someone, I guess, that children under that age that get in for free are expected to sit on your lap at panels.
Yeah. What if you have three?
And he said, I've got three kids. So that's me and my wife. Yeah. And what, like, I've got to find a stranger to have my kids sit on their lap. That's like, not right.
Wait, you got two knees, Eric.
Well, so I guess I feel like this would be okay if A, they had a pattern of better communication amongst their staff, many of whom are volunteer, I believe, and B, if they had a better system for eliminating confusion about, this is such a big deal and people plan for this so far in advance and reserve hotel rooms a year in advance. And I mean, this is like the big vacation for a lot of people, not just for this year, but like back when I was able to go, this was my vacation for 2 years.
Sure.
This was a big deal. And to come like this close to before it starting and not knowing whether or not you're going to get into the main attractions or not, because you don't understand the intricacies. Like we still, even after this discussion, we don't know what the answer is.
Yeah.
Well, like the other thing is that people are frustrated about is that when you were able to go and line up, you kind of had that sense of control that you were going to get in.
Right.
And this one, you might want to and desire, and you would have pulled a 3-day, like, sit on the floor and sleep there to get into a specific panel, and you don't have that choice. So it's all based on luck. And a lot of people are just angry about that.
Yeah.
Because again, they can't control whether they can go or they cannot.
And sure. And there's a big, that brings up another big point too. When you get into this, everybody's applying for the lottery. Yep. Everybody. Because, well, I better do it just in case.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because on day two, well, day three, I guess, because there's Thursday, Saturday morning is the Galaxy's Edge panel. This one is not being streamed to the other stages. Galaxy stage is going to have the droid and animatics, animatronic creatures panel, and the Twin Sun stage is going to have the Inside Fantasy Flight Games panel. So it's only on one stage. It could be harder to get into. But like, if I were going, I'd apply for it anyway. But then when I get there Friday night, this is my second night of being there after the convention stuff. I'm like, you know what? I'm really tired. I think I might just sleep in and not go to the panel. Or I might say, you know what? I'm a big FFG fan. And all the stuff from the Galaxy's Edge, I'm going to find that out on the internet afterwards anyway. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to the FFG thing instead. But then what happens to my slot for that panel? Right. Is there a waiting area? Or if you don't win the lottery, you can still line up and get in. But like, back to what Andrea said, in my opinion, if you're willing to wait overnight in line and I'm not, well, you win. Right. I'm already conceding the fact that I am not, I don't care so much about that panel that I'm willing to go through those lengths.
But
so I don't have a problem with someone who is.
But you also get that idea. It's like, what happens to the people that are waiting in line and they wait for like 3 days just camping around and they don't make it? So I get because you avoid that frustration of being the last person.
They should have
didn't get in.
They should have done a lottery for half the seats.
That would have been awesome. Yeah.
You can line up for the rest and then everybody has a chance for those remaining seats. And however dedicated you are, that's kind of, it's almost like you're auctioning your time to get those remaining seats.
Interesting.
You've got a lottery for half of it, and then you wait in line for the other half. And in fact, when they were talking about a lottery, that's kind of what I thought they were going to do. They're going to lottery off a batch of these seats, but then people who aren't, like, there are a lot of people probably who aren't as plugged into all of this as we are and might not be paying attention and haven't checked their email accounts because they've been busy. They don't know anything about these lotteries and stuff. And they're going to get there and think that they get to stand in line, and they can't.
And I think that it's to say or to think that the fans are just going to select the ones that they want to go and see is a little bit ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I don't want to sit through all those four panels, but I'm just going to apply to them and hope that I get to them. And like you said, there might be one that I want and I didn't get to see. So is that spot never going to be filled and somebody just missed out because I just decided, hey, I'm just going to apply to all of them?
But that's the same question thing. The same thing would have happened though with the wristbands, because they only give X number of wristbands for the stage. And if you get a wristband and then you decide not to go to that panel, they don't backfill you.
But to be fair, you get the wristbands the morning of that panel. You can't get the wristbands multiple days in advance. So Saturday morning, you go and you get a wristband Saturday morning, and then you basically go straight to the panel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, you go straight to the queue hall and you wait in the queue hall for 3 hours
and then get into
the panel. Then you have to go into the panel.
Has anybody posted how many Celebration participants are going every day and how big these rooms are?
I've not seen
the quantity of people going. They don't post until after.
Yeah.
After the conventions, and even then, it's like hard
these rooms could host.
Get the data. As far as the room capacity, I don't know. I'm sure that information's available on the venue website, though.
Probably, yeah. You know, so, one thing also, talk about how bad the communication is. Mm-hmm. Earlier in the show, we talked about, you know, the lottery system and it's going to run out. And I'm reading off the website here. The lottery is set to close on Thursday, April 4th. Fans must enter the lottery before 11:59 p.m. PM Central Time on Wednesday, April 3rd. When you go to the ShowClicks website where you actually enter the lottery, it says at the top of the page, where am I reading here, that this lottery is set to close on Thursday, April 4th, 2019, 11:59 p.m.
That's frustrating.
So it's a whole 24 hours later than what the other website says.
Right. That's awesome.
Right.
So ShowClicks is giving you an extra 24 hours worth of time to sign up for the lottery, and the Celebration page is not.
Or, Or they're saying they are, and when you go to sign up during that time period, ReedPop comes back and says, hey, we weren't taking anything beyond that. Then ReedPop goes to get that data from this company that morning.
I mean, I'd be more apt to trust the ShowClicks site. You know, it's a celebration website page. No, ShowClicks is the one actually running the lottery, but you know, who knows?
For a little bit of context, Fred, Celebration Orlando 2 years ago did over 70,000 people.
Okay.
A day?
No, total.
Okay.
So, you know, of course, we don't know if they were able to sell more or they had to restrict themselves to less because of the size of the McCormick Center. And I don't know in a relative sense. I mean, you can look at the sizes of each of the convention centers, but that's not a fair comparison because they don't open the entire convention center for these things. So,
I guess my question is more based around what percentage of participants can go to this event versus how many can't.
Good question. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So like what percentage of looking back at Orlando, what percentage of people went to the opening ceremonies or the things like that, as opposed to the people who were wandering around the show floors and such? I can say that the show floor on day one at Orlando was pretty full. It was mainly people getting in line to get pins or get into the store or things like that. But there were, because of the streaming, I have to say I am a big fan of the streaming setup because it does help accommodate a larger percentage of people being able to get in. But before we get into the actual panels and such, and I want to move off of this lottery topic, but is there any different information regarding the merchandise lottery, the exhibitor lotteries? Because again, my first experience with a lottery was the one with Funko at New York Comic Con, where you basically you had to get a ticket to be able to get into a line to then be assigned a time to go to the store. And then you had to go wait in line at that time. And then you may or may not be anything left if your time allotment was later in the day. I mean, Tim, you hate lines. This is like having a line to get into a line to get into a line.
Yeah. Well, from what I understand with this is that they have X number of product. So like for Lego, they have a certain number of these bus, and that's how many people are winning these lotteries.
Yeah. The trouble with Funko, though, is they've got, 13 different items. And they're all exclusive for that convention. And I think they restock the store twice during the day, once for the morning shift, once for the afternoon shift. At least that's what they've done at New York Comic Con. I think if you get a later time slot in the morning, you might be out of luck because the thing you wanted is now gone.
Yeah, like that Boba Fett Funko exclusive. They're not making it, so there's one of those for each individual lottery ticket. What they're doing is you might be able to get the Watto by the time you get in there, but you're not getting the Boba Fett because all of those went earlier.
Yep. Right.
The Lego thing, because if there's one exclusive, that might be different. So that Vader bust, you might be okay with that.
You know, like when I think of a lottery system and all this stuff and just like, it gives me so much anxiety just to plan this out.
Well, like, I mean, there's anxiety even if there wasn't a lottery, though.
Don't overplan.
Like, exactly. That's the thing, right? Like, although I want it, I'm going in just with, like, the expectation I'm not going to get it if I find it, like, hip hooray. But, like, just focusing in and honing in on, like, I'm going to get this. I'm going to line up. I'm going to do this just to have the potential of being completely disappointed is not worth it to me. So, you know, like, I'm going, and if I get something or if I see something I like and I buy it, then yay for me. But I'm not going to go with the expectation that I'm going to get something.
Right. In 2015, there was one fan who brought in a skateboard. It was just I'm not into boarding, so skating. I don't understand the nomenclature, but it was just the skateboard itself, not with the wheels attached. And it was a Star Wars skateboard, and he had it signed by a bunch of different people, and he wanted it signed by Carrie Fisher. And I don't know why he ended up having to wait so long for so many days, but in short, he spent the vast majority of his convention waiting in line to get Carrie Fisher to sign this. He skipped convention panels. He didn't go to any of the other events at the convention. It was just this. And I think the day before the last day, and he wasn't there for the entire convention either. He got it signed by Carrie Fisher. And that was all he wanted. Like, he didn't really get to do anything else at the convention, and he had to wait in line, and he had to pay money to be able to get her signature, et cetera, et cetera. But he was in control of this. He wanted it that badly, and he got it. Mm-hmm. It bothers me in concept, and I will concede the fact that maybe this is the best way and the most fair way to do it. I'll concede that. But it bothers me in concept that there are things going on here, whether it can be exhibitor things or panel things, where I'm no longer in control of my mm-hmm. chances of getting into that. It's purely based on luck. And if I really want to go to see this Galaxy's Edge thing, because like I'm a huge Disney park nerd and I've got to get into this and I want to see that panel, I lose the lottery before I even get on the airplane. Then that kind of sours my whole experience there. Whereas otherwise, yeah, I might be willing to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go wait in line for this panel, because if it's that important to me, then like the people who are willing to do that, more power to them, man. Like, that's your fandom there. That's you. Well, go.
I think a bunch of us have said the same thing. It comes down to that out of your control element, because if you understand the rules and you're willing to play by the rules and you're going to get what you want, if you play by the rules, I think that's great. I mean, I waited in line, I think, for 2 hours in Celebration Store at the last convention because I really wanted to get some pins and some pint glasses.
Right.
And I was in line for about 2 hours.
But if there's a lottery to get into the store, and you're like, listen, I want to give you my money for the pint glasses, and you have enough of them, but I can't get in.
Yeah.
That would be frustrating.
I mean, things like the store seem to me like they could handle it better. Just let me do it online. Let me buy the stuff. I'll pick it up there if you want me to, whatever. But like this kid with the skateboard that was getting it signed, that flummoxed me, because I'm looking at this like, okay, I bought a ticket to get a signature from Carrie Fisher. I mean, it's a paid autograph system. I paid for my autograph. I got in line. I didn't get it. So what if I was there only that one day? I mean, I paid for my time to be there. I'm in line. I waited in line. I didn't get to the counter. I mean, not like I'm just waiting in line to see if I can get an autograph. I'm expecting to get, I paid for it. I'm there.
Yeah.
I don't see how that guy waited 2 or 3 days, because it doesn't make sense to me. But
well, and remember when we went to get the picture with Alan Tudyk and for some reason it was running late and like he wasn't there yet, which I don't believe was his fault, but we're waiting and waiting. And then there were people in line who's like, I've got an appointment to be over here getting an autograph from someone else right now. This was supposed to have been done long time ago. And this guy was like, I don't know, the 10th person in line for the picture. Like, he was right up near the front.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was really, really late. And then there were other things, like they had Ian McDiarmid scheduled for autographing at the same time he was doing a panel. So there, I mean, I don't know.
Things will happen. Mistakes will be made.
Well, sure.
You know, I mean, I think it's just, you know, we all need to take a breath. It's going to happen the way it's going to happen. Some of it's out of our control. And I think that we just need to be more relaxed about it. I mean, I'll be stressed trying to get my Hallmark stuff, because I always like to get that. And whatever day I plan to get it, I go in, that's the first stop I make. I've never been locked out of it. I've always gotten what I wanted, but I'm there early in the morning. I know what to expect. I'm going to be there for an hour or whatever. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, if I had to sleep overnight for it, I probably wouldn't do it. But, you know, you're going to get out of it what you put into it, as long as it's not this lottery where you just don't get it at all.
When it comes to the exhibitor exclusive lotteries, I don't even see the point of why you have to be there in person. If it's a lottery and I win the lottery,
that's a good point. Send it to me.
Why can't I just hit the button on my phone to order it like I do at Amazon?
Right. Let me just go pick it up on the way by at some point. Right.
Really?
They want you to come by the booth. They want that kind of stuff to happen. So, you know, yeah.
Sure.
But at the same time, you're right. I'd like to be able to have it come to me.
That is brilliant, Fred. I mean, yeah, duh. Listen, I also want to point out, I don't want to make people think that we're either A, being down on the convention, or B, scaring people or anything like that. These, you know, some of us have been to these before. Some of us were going for the first time. And I know our listenership is kind of split along those same lines as well. There are so many good experiences at the convention that they really take these bad experiences and make them rather minuscule. So don't feel like the stuff we're complaining about means you're going to have a bad experience, or, you know, what's the point in going to the convention at all if it's just a mess? It's not like that. Okay. Don't get too worried. We are looking at a system with the lottery. We're voicing our concerns about it based on experiences in the past. And like has been said repeatedly on this show, whether it be Tim or Lou or myself, things are going to go wrong and you adapt. And it's not just Celebration. It's anything. It's San Diego Comic-Con. It's New York Comic-Con. It's Dragon Con. It's your local mom and pop Comic Con, like any sort of organized event, there are going to be things go wrong and you just have to adapt and overcome, and it's going to be okay. At the end of the day, it's going to be okay. You really just have to kind of set your expectations to be flexible, to understand what it is you want to get out of the convention and to prioritize that. And hopefully, I've found that the people who want to get the socialization and just the overall experience of celebrating their fandom, that's their priority. Those people are so much more fulfilled with going to the convention than anyone else. The people who are chasing particular exclusives or things like that. Really, just if you're going to enjoy yourself and to get something out of the experience and to meet up with other friends or Star Wars fans, you're going to have a great time. This is going to be a wonderful experience. And you're going to want to go again and again. So I don't want to make it sound too negative here. I think that that's a really important thing for us to point out. So the schedule has been released. The big panels we've already talked about. Friday, you've got the Star Wars Episode 9. Saturday, you've got the Galaxy's Edge. Sunday, you've got The Mandalorian, and Monday, you've got The Phantom Menace 20th anniversary. Before we get to the rest of the schedule and kind of how the stages are set up and things like that, I'm curious as to the four of you who are going, of those four primary panels, which, or maybe none of them at all, are you planning to attend? Tim, what are your thoughts on those?
The Mandalorian is the one I really want to get into.
Yeah.
That's the thing I am absolutely most excited about. I would love to go to the episode 1-1, but that is Monday, unfortunately, is our travel day coming back. And being yeah. that is a little bit later, Lou and I are just kind of not going to make that. Episode 9, I think, would be great. If I get into it, that's cool. I'll be very happy to do so. Galaxy's Edge, I'm not so excited about it. I mean, I'm excited about the park, but I'm not so mm-hmm. excited about that panel. I think that obviously whatever information comes out in any of these panels will, you know, be public soon after.
Sure.
But that's not one that I'm really that hyped up about. If I get in, that's cool, but I'm not really looking to.
It's a little bit difficult, I think, for Galaxy's Edge because they're talking about something located somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like it's all vicarious. There's nothing they can't put a roller coaster in the convention hall and let everybody ride it.
Yeah.
Right.
The Mandalorian is definitely the one I'm looking forward to.
The best they could do for Galaxy's Edge would be to like bring out some of the animatronics, like maybe the animatronic Hondo or something and have a little presentation with it. Or I mean, it's limited. Yeah. But okay, so the Mandalorian is your absolute must-see panel out of those four.
Yes, yeah, that's the one I'm really hoping to get to.
Okay, Lou, what about you?
Well, I was really hoping to go to the episode 1 thing, but now Tim says I can't go, so I guess I'm
stuck. Jeez. Who died and made Tim the boss?
I know, right?
Right?
I mean, like Tim, I think the Mandalorian is probably the thing I'm most interested in because we have so little information about it. Although second to that, I will say I'd like to see the episode 9 panel. If I don't get in, I'm sure I'll be able to see most of it online, though. So I'm not too concerned with the big panels.
Well, and as someone who's not able to go, I'm really curious if they're going to do the same thing as they did last time with streaming a lot of these panels on YouTube or somewhere on the internet.
I mean, just for me, I'm assuming we're going to get a trailer. So,
The trailer and the official.
That'll hit the internet 30 seconds after the panel.
The official poster, the official title release.
I mean, the one nice thing about panels like that, if you go to that panel, you're probably going to get the poster or a card of a poster there.
Right.
Because they'll give it to you at the walking on the panel. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stuff is kind of neat. Not that you just, you know, put it in the attic when you get home and never see it again. But
right. Yeah. You're either selling it on eBay for a few dollars or it's, you're never going to see it again because it's in a box somewhere.
Yeah.
So as someone who's attended these previously, I would have to say, I agree with you guys on The Mandalorian. I'm not a big fan of these flashback panels, like the 20th anniversary panel for episode one. I would skip that totally. I would go find something else to do. I would make that my time to go shop. It's just not really my thing. I think The Mandalorian is the one we know the least about and are most likely to get some significant footage from. Episode 9, I think because there's less footage, it's a movie and not a TV series, we won't get maybe anything quite as significant from it, from the panel, compared to The Mandalorian. I think the episode 9 panel would be really good, but I think The Mandalorian's where the meat is this time around. Andrea, what are you looking forward to the most out of those four panels, or do you not plan to go to any of them?
I don't know. It depends on what we want to do, but The Mandalorian and episode 9 are the ones that I'm eyeing. Just if we decide to go to one, those would be the ones that I'm interested in. Like you guys said, Galaxy's Edge, Fred and I are going to probably go during like October, November. So like, why not just surprise ourselves with just the experience? And then like you said, Eric, like, okay, it's the 20th anniversary for the Phantom Menace. It's fine. Like I will live if I don't see that.
Well, and my thing about Galaxy's Edge 2 is it'll be a decade before I can afford to go. And by then they will have replaced most of the attractions. So, you know, Fred, what are you looking forward to out of those four panels, if anything?
Exactly. Repeat what Andrew just said. Episode 9 and The Mandalorian, I think, are the top two that we want to hit. Okay. Galaxy's Edge, I don't really care so much about. If we go to the Phantom Menace 20th anniversary one, sure. But if we miss it, oh well.
Yeah.
Okay. I won't be broken up about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like the movie hasn't already been around for 20 years. Like, we can still go see it. Okay, so an overview of what's going on here. Thursday, there are no panels. So keep that in mind. It's Thursday through Monday, but there are no panels on Thursday. And then Monday is a shortened day. The closing ceremony is from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. There is one panel that goes an extra half hour beyond that. An extra 15 minutes beyond that. So by 4:45 or 5 o'clock, everything is going to be shut down on Monday. And of course, a lot of the big panels are not going to happen on Monday because, like Tim and Lou alluded to, that's the travel day for a lot of people. In fact, traditionally, Sunday was the case in the past. So yeah. Sunday was when they didn't have a lot of big panels. But this time around, and I think this might be smart because a lot of people can go for the weekend. And then maybe because it's in the middle of the country, if they're within driving distance, they can drive home Sunday night or something. So, and not everybody could go on Friday. So it used to be there's one day you could do all the big panels and that was Saturday. This gives them the opportunity to spread some of those out into Sunday as well. Now, there are various different stages. The celebration stage is the big arena stage that houses the largest quantity of people and will have the biggest spotlighted panels. Galaxy stage and the Twin Suns stage are the two second largest stages. And then you get into some of the smaller things. Star Wars University stage is going to be primarily about the more educational side of Star Wars, like how to build your own Mandalorian armor, how to do Japanese Star Wars paper cutting. There's a behind the scenes look at how audiobook recordings are done, things like that. You've got the fan stage. That's going to be a lot of the cosplay things. It's going to be the fan presentations about fan groups or diversity or things like that. You've got the Galactic Senate stage. And a lot of that seems to, I imagine this is going to be much, 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 much smaller, almost more of like a meet and greet area. This is going to have a lot of the lightsaber demos from the Saber Guild. It's going to be some meet and greets with some of the costuming groups. You've got the collector stage, which is pretty self-explanatory. The podcast
the Saber stage, Guild, by the way, has a ton of stuff going on through
like
the
entire
weekend.
Stage.
Yeah, they're doing things multiple times every day, which is pretty cool. So yeah. Definitely take an opportunity to check them out at least once.
Well, and it's also the type of thing, depending on how the venue itself is set up, they used to perform a lot of this stuff in a designated area within the exhibit hall. And it was very easy to just kind of wander up and watch a few minutes of it and wander away. And that might sound like it's diminishing it, but it's not. It's the sort of thing where it allows exposure to a lot more people to be able to check out the group and some of the stuff they do. But yeah, they've got a lot of events. The podcast stage has basically different podcast group going every hour on the hour for a total of 45 minutes each. There is a bounty hunt room, which just once a day will have a bounty hunt event. And there's also the speed dating. I think they have 7 sessions this time around for the Star Wars speed dating. So of those, have any of you already locked down what your priorities are? Are you still browsing the lists?
20 years of collecting Lego.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's good.
That one's staring at me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've gone through a lot of them, and I'm pretty excited about a lot of this.
Yeah. So looking at this, there are still some gaps currently in the schedule. And as I share the spreadsheet out, I will update it as we get updates with the schedule. But for example, on the Twin Sun stage, there's nothing from noon until 3 p.m. on Friday. So I'm sure that there have been gaps like that in the past with scheduling. And a lot of times that's where we get a last minute Mark Hamill presentation or a last minute Ian McDiarmid presentation. There's nothing on Celebration stage after 5 o'clock on Friday, even though there's still 2 hours left of panels. Though there are some gaps that'll probably get filled in here and there.
Mm-hmm. One thing I definitely want to plug is on Friday at 1:30, and unfortunately it's the same time slot as the Lego, the 20 years of Lego one that Fred just mentioned.
Yeah.
But Tom Harper, who is my co-host over on Dispatches from the Front, and he is like us, he is a Star Wars connoisseur and aficionado. Mm-hmm. He is very similar to what he did at Celebration 2 years ago, where he moderated a Star Wars military panel. He's the moderator this year of the All Wings Report In, the Military of Star Wars. And that's running from 1:30 to 2:15 on Friday at the Star Wars University stage. So you will definitely find me there. And if you have any interest in the military side of Star Wars stuff, Tom has some great guests lined up for it, and it should be really good.
Now, that brings up another point. I am tasking all four of you to take good notes and be able to provide some interesting summaries to the panels that you go to while you're there, because not only is that up against the 20 years of the Lego Star Wars story, it's also up against the Vader Immortal, the Star Wars VR experience, which is
going to be big.
That is going to be big, and that's going to be on the main stage, the celebration stage. Mm-hmm. So,
Looking at the schedule here, if you look at 6 o'clock at the collector stage, they have 20 years of collecting Lego again. So I'm not sure if that would be the same or
I different. Don't believe it is. I also want to point out, if anybody's looking at this spreadsheet, there are some points at which I had to kind of summarize the titles of these in order to fit in. And I tried to keep them as descriptive as possible. I will be updating them later with comment fields so that when you mouse over any of the cells, it gives you the full description of the panel. I believe the one on the collector stage is more of a fan presentation, whereas the one on the galaxy stage is presented by Lego. But do not quote me on that. I did not look into that. I'm just speaking from past experience.
It makes sense because it is on the galaxy stage and because it's kind of during a prime time slot. Right. So
that would be my guess. There are some exceptions, but the collector stage is predominantly fan presentations by collector groups or things like that. So Now, picking this apart day by day, Friday, we already mentioned we've got the Episode 9, the Vader Immortal. Those are going to be the big ones, and those are on the celebration stage. Looking at the rest of these, I can tell you if I were going to Celebration, that 1:30 time slot is rough between Vader Immortal, the 20 years of Lego, and the military of the Star Wars. That's going to be really tough. And I feel bad for the 40 years of Star Wars holiday special collecting, because some of these panels sound really goofy, and you go and you sit in them because
they'll have three people.
I'm bored. I got nothing else to do. And it gives me a chance to get off my feet and I can kind of rearrange my bag or, you know, snack on a banana or, you know, whatever you've got going on. And some of them end up being really, really fascinating. And I'm a little bit curious about that one. But like it's got such harsh competition.
The one tough part here is that for Tom's military panel, he tried to get Justin Bulger to come in on it, because Justin is a veteran, and also, as again another one of us, he also has like a lot of really great deep fandom in the military side of Star Wars stuff.
And he's very pro-Empire, so he'd have a very interesting perspective on this.
Yeah. So Tom tried to get Justin in. Well, Justin now works for ILM X-Lab. So he is going to be at the, he had left Lucasfilm proper and went over to ILM X-Lab. And so he had mentioned that he has a conflict, so he was unable to do Tom. So presumably he'll be over on the celebration stage showing off the Vader Immortal stuff. So,
or he's doing the holiday special. One or the other. Yeah.
I suppose there's a chance, but it's very, very slim.
Probably not going to be in the Ladies of the Legions, though.
Probably not, but hey, you never know. Yeah. I'm sure he's a fan.
Looking at these panels, I would say for me personally, I really liked Solo, and that's something we're going to be talking about in the Outer Rim when we get to that movie. So the ILM presents the making of Solo. Given that there's not a lot else going on at that point, I would probably check that one out. The Lucasfilm publishing panel does overlap it a little earlier, though, and that's one I would probably be interested in checking out. Otherwise, on Friday, there's an author spotlight with Timothy Zahn starting at 3:45 on the fan stage. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't read the descriptions for all these thoroughly yet because I was building the spreadsheet. I don't know if that actually has Timothy Zahn appearing, or if, because it's on the fan stage, if it's a fan presentation focusing on Timothy Zahn's works and influence on Star Wars.
I believe Tim Zahn is going.
Okay.
He's the spotlight of that panel.
Okay. So it's always interesting to hear Tim Zahn talk. So I'd probably consider going to that one. Otherwise, there's not much else really that stands out to me personally on Friday. Not that a lot of these aren't very good. I mean, there's a lot of the Droids for 500 game show. There's a Hasbro panel. There's a Star Wars make and take where they're going to teach you how to craft some Star Wars stuff. And then you get to take it back with you. Like they're bringing the materials for you to make your own Star Wars craft and then take. There's a lot of good stuff here. Mm-hmm. But other than the Episode 9 and the Vader Immortal, nothing is like a must see for me on Friday. I think Friday might be the day I would kind of wander around and take in the sights and do some shopping. And
the nice thing to consider about this, because we had that Thursday day with no panels, that's a great day to be on a floor shopping.
Now, is that a full day though?
I believe it is.
It's close to it. It's not the exact schedule as the weekend, but it's pretty close.
Okay. But keep in mind, anybody like, so there are going to be fewer attendees overall on Thursday. Right. However, it also means that 100% of those are going to be in line at the Star Wars store and at the Del Rey booth and the Funko booth. Yeah. So that's a good day for that. I will say this. If you're going on Thursday, your number one casual priority should be just learning your way around. get the lay of the land, learn where the bathrooms are, learn where the food vendors are, learn, you know, the quickest way to generally get from this area to that area, et cetera. Just kind of get a feel for the environment on Thursday.
Where all the stages are, that kind of stuff. One thing we kind of skipped over as well, you mentioned it with the Star Wars store at Celebration, is the light speed system for the store.
Yeah.
So that looks like another
You have to pay virtual... for that, right?
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
It says you only use the app to register for it, and you get a time slot to get in line to go there.
Oh, that's okay. Handy.
Yeah, it could be. I just don't know if it's going to be executed well. I mean, I know they had the Jedi Master passes got a separate line last time, and somebody else did, but even those weren't efficient and fast.
Yeah, there will still be a line for the light speed.
Yeah.
To get into the store, and there will be a separate line at the Lightspeed for checking out. There will be a certain percentage of the registers dedicated to Lightspeed. However, keep in mind, it is still a line. I would recommend, if there's stuff you've got to get from the store, I'd recommend doing Lightspeed.
Oh, yeah, I'm planning on it. But yeah, and like you said, Eric, last time, I mean, it was 2 hours to get in, you shop, and it was like an hour to get out.
But keep in mind, your time for Lightspeed could be during a major panel, too.
Right.
One thing that they did or that they are doing this year, which they apparently learned from in Orlando, was that the Her Universe store is separate from the Celebration store.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes. In Orlando, they were together, which I think contributed to that kerfuffle. And I mean, they're absolutely both worth going to. And I was very disappointed in Orlando because I wanted to go. I really didn't care so much about the Celebration store, but I wanted to go to the Her Universe store. And then when I found out that the Her Universe store was in the Celebration store and I saw the 3 hour long line, I'm like, yeah, no, thanks. I'm sorry. My time is more valuable than that.
Yeah. Because all the pins were in the store. I mean, a portion of the pins were there.
Yeah. And so there will still certainly be lines, but it's at least divvying things up a little bit. And I'm glad that they're doing that. And that's certainly going to help.
On Friday, I would say you can expect there to be at least one panel added to the Twin Sun stage and possibly an evening panel added to the Celebration stage.
Mm.
So there are some big gaps there that look like they need to be filled. Moving on to Saturday. And we've got Galaxy's Edge. Now, this is the one that's not being streamed at all. At that same time, starting a little bit earlier at the Galaxy stage, you've got droids and animatronic creatures. And then on the Twin Sun stage, you've got Inside Fantasy Flight Games. Now, if you are at all interested in board games, I can't recommend FFG highly enough. We've all talked about it ad nauseum on our various different podcasts. We are big, big fans of FFG, and we would highly recommend you hit their panel if you have any interest at all in FFG.
And definitely their booth as well. They usually do, like, they have a bunch of tables set up so you can actually, like, play test
a demo area.
Their games, and they have people there that will help you with it, and you know, you can play with friends or just jump in with someone else who's playing, and they will kind of walk you through the game mechanics. You get to demo it and get a feel for it, and it's awesome. I mean, their stuff is just incredible.
They have a lot of staff there walking people through, like, learning the game, so don't feel intimidated by it. There are people who will explain the game mechanics to you, and the game mechanics are always really solid too. That's the one thing I'll say about them. It's not just they're milking some sort of franchise for a buck. The game quality itself is actually really good. You could slap any franchise on some of these games and they'd be really good games. And the fact that they're just also Star Wars and kind of capture the essence of what Star Wars gaming should be like on a table is just fantastic. They might even have a different room for the game demos, so keep an eye out for that as well. Definitely check out their booth. And I know last time they did giveaways at their panel as well. They were giving away preview sets of the Star Wars Destiny dice game.
Mm.
So good stuff there.
Very cool.
There's a Star Wars Rebels Remembered panel on the Galaxy stage. Again, the flashback anniversary stuff, not really my thing. There's a premiere of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order at 1:30 on the Celebration stage. Now that's the next big game from EA.
Yeah, that's going to be a big panel, I think. I think that's going to be real popular.
A lot of people are going to go to that one. That one's going to be really difficult to get into, and you will probably have some sort of a line getting into that. At the same time, starting earlier than that, is the Delray Books Behind the Scenes panel. So if you're a big book fan, keep that in mind. Then after that, on the Twin Sun stage, after the Delray Books panel, is a Marvel Comics Presents Star Wars panel. And then later in the day, again, if you're into books, there's a Behind the Scenes audiobook recording studio at 5:30 at Star Wars University featuring Mark Thompson.
We have to go to that.
That's well worth going.
Yeah. I cannot recommend that highly enough. As far as the like the non-mainstream panels, like anything off the Celebration stage, that is the one panel I think I would prioritize for myself anyway at Celebration. But then, you know, we're podcasters, so we're a little predisposed to that sort of thing. But seriously, Mark Thompson is not only is a great narrator, but he's a lot of fun to listen to. And a good guy to meet, too. If you go by the Delray booth and he's got different times when he'll be there, be sure to drop by and visit. A lot of times he'll do he'll record voicemail greetings on your phone for you. Things like that. He's awesome. A really good guy. Looking at this, anything that stands out to you guys on Saturday? Anything that looks interesting?
Oh, the thing for me, definitely. Well, there's a couple of caveats with Saturday. and I'm sure as Lou is looking through the Saturday schedule, he probably had the same thought that I do, which is Saturday is generally the big cosplay day. And so with all the effort that Lou and I are putting into our Mud Trooper builds, we will be probably spending the vast majority of our day out in the lobby area or wherever it is that the cosplayers are congregating. That said, obviously, there's probably going to be a panel or two that we're going to want to get into. One, because we were interested in the topic. And two, it'll be good to sit down for a bit. Uncomfortably position ourselves on the edge of a seat.
Leaning position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So
I think the key
phrase
you're
going to
hear from Lou on the day is, Tim, hold my armor.
Yeah. you need a Sherpa.
There is absolutely one thing on Saturday that I do want to see, and that is at 3:45 on the fan stage is the Doug Chang Masterclass, Art and Techniques of Designing for Star Wars. I saw Doug present in at Celebration Orlando, and he is, for folks who aren't familiar with Doug Chang, he's kind of the visual design person for films.
He's the new Ralph McQuarrie for Star Wars too. I mean, ever since the prequels, he's done a lot of the concept art.
Yeah. So he does the concept art. He does just so much of this design stuff. And the panel that he did at Orlando was on Rogue One. And he probably spent half of that panel just talking about Jedha and how like the look and the feel that they wanted for it, both from a big picture perspective, as well as like the details on the streets and what people were wearing and how the buildings were going to look and that kind of stuff. Absolutely fascinating stuff. So if you like that kind of behind the curtain types of things, and he's a great presenter, he has a great sense of humor. He tells just these incredible stories about how they built this stuff and how they created it. And he shows, it's very, very visual. So he shows like, here's the early concept art for it. And it, you know, some of it usually gets a few chuckles because there's like weird and wacky stuff that's in there. Just really, really neat thing. So that is something that I definitely want to go see.
He's got two panels this Celebration. One is on episode one, I think, on the following day. But of the two, I would say the masterclass is probably really going to be interesting.
Yeah. The other thing of note for Saturday, which is not on this schedule, but and we talked about in the last episode, just to remind folks, Saturday evening, starting at 7:30 p.m. at the ARC Bar, which is not Akbar, ARC Bar, which is at the Hyatt, which is one of the hotels that's connected to the convention center, so you don't have to go far at all, is the podcaster and listener meetup.
Yes.
And so there's like over a dozen podcasts that will have their hosts there, and many of us will be there. Hopefully all of us will be there. A lot of our listeners have already said that they're going to be there. So please make sure that you, you know, go come say hi to us. As I mentioned before, you know, feel free to buy us drinks. I'm totally cool with that.
I'm so glad this is going to be on Saturday night, because Tim and Lou will be so exhausted.
Yeah.
From being in their armor all day. This could not be a better time for that.
One beer and they'll be out.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I'm putting a camelback in my armor with a beer straw.
That's actually not a bad idea. Like if you are wearing some sort of cosplay and you can fit a camelback in it.
Reload.
Yeah.
Lou and I have already discussed the concept and the means for doing so. So it probably won't happen for Celebration, but maybe for like
next time.
Be a version 2 of the armor and mask setup. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Fred and Andrea, anything on Saturday that stands out to you guys?
One of the ones that we haven't really brought up yet, right smack in the middle at what looks like 2:30 on the university stage, is the RPGs in the classroom. So that looks interesting. I wouldn't mind popping into that one.
Well, especially for Andrea being an educator. If only knew a teacher. Herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, like my kids know so much Star Wars because of me. Every single day has been like, look what I just ordered. And then, okay, because we just got into this, and I'm going to sidetrack the whole entire thing.
Shopping things.
No, anyway. Not just that. Like, seriously, I go into full history of Star Wars. I actually showed Fred, I saw like a guide of all the planets and their animals, and I want to do like a biology lesson with that, and that would be so much fun. But anyways, so there's two backpacks. There's a Darth Vader backpack and an R2-D2 backpack, and I did not know which one to choose, so I got all of my students to vote, and I ordered one of them, and it's coming on Tuesday, so I'm really excited. But they're also so excited for me. Like, they know how much I love Star Wars. That's so really cool. I think this would be pretty cool.
So
amazing.
Just to bring it back on topic from Andrea's backpack shopping, that is the Star Wars RPG. This is one of the ones where I had to kind of truncate the title of the panel for fitting it in the spreadsheet. But it focuses on the use of Star Wars RPGs in a middle school classroom.
Oh, okay.
And
they're using rocket propelled grenades in a classroom?
Yes.
I do.
Yes, but it's a large classroom. So right. You don't want to do it if the classroom's too small, because there's nowhere to duck and get out of the way. So they're going to cover
this leaves me with a lot of questions. But
yes.
Stay on target.
Let's see. What else do we have on Saturday? We've got a Star Wars tourism panel that I think covers like going to Tunisia and going to the different palaces and stuff where they filmed Episode 1 and things like that. Excuse me. They've got a legacy of the radio dramas, legacy of Brian Daly and the radio dramas. The Force of Funko is also on Saturday. Changing roles of women in Star Wars. Specifically, I think that panel is about the content. There are also some roles about there are some panels about the changing roles of women in Star Wars fandom, I believe, but this one at 12:15 at Star Wars University is specifically about the Star Wars content. There's also a panel on the Lego Star Wars animation. And I think that it's on the fan stage, but I think it involves the people who have been working on the various Star Wars Lego shows.
So. Yes.
Moving on to Sunday, now The Mandalorian, we already talked about the fact it's streaming across two of the three main stages. There's not a lot else going on that morning, which is not a big surprise. In fact, the only other things going on, designing the Star Wars pop-up book and a game show on the fan stage, which I guess will be the concession for the people who can't get into the Mandalorian panel. I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I mean, like, if I couldn't get into the Mandalorian panel, I think I would definitely go check out the game show, probably.
Yeah, and there's actually a lot of, like, game showy and competition things, both here as well as offsite. There's they're doing a Star Wars trivia schmodown. during the course of this, and that's offsite at a some other location in Chicago.
Cool.
And in fact, Laura from Forced Host is going to be one of the competitors in that.
Excellent.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of these game show things are more you watching. Like there's a trivia game that has a bunch of Star Wars trivia experts who are going to be competing. And then there are some where you can actually compete. They will be pulling people out of the audience to compete. I know there is one where you get to compete against Timothy Zahn.
Mm.
I think that's either on Sunday or Monday. I'd have to look into it again. But yeah, there are several different kind of trivia or game show I don't want to call them panels, but activities, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, there's always a few things offsite that are nice to see too.
Yes, and they don't show up on the panel schedule. So that's one of those things where you've got to be plugged in. Yeah, you've got to be plugged into the community to get more information on those.
Yeah, like I think Star Wars The Old Republic usually does a event at one of the hotels nearby in the evening.
And yes, they are. I did see something about that. I'll have to dig that up.
Yeah, if we can compile it, maybe we can cover it on an Outer Rim before the convention even.
Yeah, it's called the Cantina event.
Okay. And I know the 501st always does a bash, and they've always got DJ Elliott performing. If you get a chance to see DJ Elliott perform somewhere, I highly recommend it. I know he's going to be doing the main celebration stage. You'll get a little bit of a taste of him there, but I'm telling you, if you go to like an actual gig that he's doing at Celebration, you won't regret it. It'll be a lot of fun. So on Sunday, we have a conversation with Alan Tudyk on the Celebration stage at 1:30. Alan Tudyk is fascinating to listen to.
That's going to be very popular.
I highly recommend that. If you can't get into that one for some reason, Doug Chang has another one. This is where he's got the Designing Episode 1 panel. There is a behind the scenes of the Cantina, apparently by the people who worked on, I guess, the Cantina aliens and such. There is a World Building 101 panel. There is a panel on diversity in Star Wars fandom. All of that going on at the same time between the 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock hours on Sunday. So that's another kind of a hot spot, I think, for the convention where you're going to have to pick and choose what it is you want to go to. There's also a Star Wars Clone Wars sneak peek at 3:30. A presentation by the ILM Model Shop at the same time, and they are fascinating to listen to. I had an opportunity to go out to dinner with several of them in 2005, and just story after story after story of how they ended up doing things and things that went wrong during shooting, and I imagine that's going to be a really good panel. They're also streaming the Star Wars Clone Wars sneak peek. So keep that in mind as well. Anthony Daniels is going to be having a presentation at about 5:15 on the Galaxy stage. And then again, lots of little panels throughout the day. Anything that stands out to you guys that you really want to go see on Sunday?
One thing I'm looking forward to is there's a 3D printing cosplay event happening. Yeah. And a couple of the guys that are in the Mud Trooper Builders group on Facebook are actually presenting there. So these are guys that have been kind of helping me out with questions I had on my cosplay and so forth, that we're doing, how we're doing certain things. It'd be great to meet these guys in person and kind of get some firsthand experience with them.
Yeah. I have to say the Saber Guild presentation on learning lightsaber choreography in the afternoon. Mm. I think that looks interesting too.
I'm looking at the one on the ILM Model Shop, building a galaxy. After 3 o'clock, that one, I think, again, I really like that kind of behind the scenes types of
stuff.
Does
it say whether Lauren Peterson's going to be there?
That I don't know.
Okay. Well, hopefully he is.
But, the great thing is about this con is that while it is, you know, you go to a regular con and you have a huge variety of all sorts of different, things you can get. While this is obviously Star Wars focused, there's a gazillion different interests that you can cover. If you like animation, if you prefer the movies, if you want actors, if you want books, if you want cosplay, if you want to attend panels that talk about fandom, all that stuff is there and all these different aspects of it. So,
If you want the one on Japanese vegetable carving, it's there.
Yeah. It's
very easily. So there's something for everybody. No, yeah. Seriously. There's something for everybody there, really.
Japanese vegetable carving. Yes.
There really is. So, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff there. And try not to pack your day. I mean, you know, give yourself some time. If you try to schedule every moment to be in a panel, you will probably not have a good day.
No.
Give yourself some breathing room between panels. I mean, it's fine to do, you know, here and there to do some back to back, but it's great to give yourself some time to just kind of chill out and maybe walk the exhibit floor a little bit, or just like get some food or go outside and actually get some fresh air.
I think that Thursday, one of the benefits is not only going to be that you can get some of the shopping and non-panel stuff done on Thursday to free you up for more panels throughout the convention, but I think it's also going to be good in the sense that it's going to let you see that there's a lot of other things to do besides the panels. I think everybody gets so focused on the panels because their source of information and their, you know, presentations, they involve celebrities or experts. And that's obviously one of the biggest draws of the convention, but there's a lot of other things to do too. And I think that Thursday, the panel-less day, is going to adjust people's expectations a little bit and help them realize that they can still get a lot out of the conventions without having to do back-to-back panel attendance.
Right.
All right. Anything else on Sunday before we move on?
No, but I'll throw it there now. I just found the Star Wars The Old Republic Cantina is coming to Celebration. They'll be meeting, which unfortunately will be the same time as our fan meetup on the Saturday night. But they're meeting between 7 p.m. and 11 p.m. at the Marriott Marquis, which is basically the hotel next door to McCormick Place.
Yep.
Well, you could maybe wander back and forth across the two. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these, it's a lot of mingling at like the podcast meetup and things like that. So if it's that close, maybe you could actually kind of drift in and out of both of them.
Awesome.
So, all right. And that brings us to Monday. Again, Monday is a truncated day. It stops at, during the 4 o'clock hour, everything will be wrapping up, and I don't know if they close the doors at 5 o'clock or what the story is, but the panels will be done by then. We've got the Phantom Menace 20th anniversary panel on the main stage and streaming to the Galaxy stage. Lucasfilm Publishing has a writer's roundtable at the Twin Suns stage at 10:30, and honestly, I would much rather go see that than the Phantom Menace anniversary.
Those are always a lot of fun because they usually have like 10 or 15 authors that are prolific in Star Wars talking about upcoming projects, hinting about stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I think that would be probably one of the bigger, the must-see panels for me for the convention. I'm not dissing the Phantom Menace panel. I think it's going to be interesting, and I think people are going to get a lot out of it. I just know that for me personally, like you said, Lou, the writers' roundtables are always fascinating. They've always got interesting stories and perspectives.
They're incredible.
The one thing about like the 20th anniversary Phantom Menace panel, I know it's history, it's rehashing what we've already seen, but for some people, they want to go see the actors, and that's a good chance to see them interact on stage with each other they haven't interacted with in a while.
Yeah.
And it's usually a pretty fun, entertaining time.
Yeah,
totally.
Another thing about the people who want to see the actors, especially if you've never really gotten a chance to interact with or be exposed to any celebrities before, Warwick Davis has a panel on Monday afternoon, 1:30. Anthony Daniels has one, I believe it was on Sunday. And like I said, I think we're probably going to see some of these gaps filled in with some more panels like that. I can't think of anybody who's ever done a celebrity panel at a Star Wars convention that has not been worth going out of your way to watch. So, the Warwick Davis one, I'd recommend it. The Anthony Daniels one, I would recommend it.
And the Warwick Davis one is kind of named a little insensitively, though, isn't it?
Which one?
I mean, the Warwick Davis panel?
Short stories with Warwick Davis?
Isn't that a little insensitive? I mean,
I'm sure he probably named it.
Is there a problem with being short, Lou?
No.
Well,
I also want to put a plug out there. You know, Eric, early on, you mentioned the podcast stage. And while unfortunately none of our shows are on the podcast stage this year, there are some really, really terrific podcasters that have time slots on the podcast stage. And they're really cool. Sometimes they'll do giveaways. And it's neat just to, you know, get up there and meet some of your favorite podcasters and talk to them. And, you know, sit in while, you know, basically sit in as the live studio audience while they're recording a show. So definitely if you have a free time slot, show them some love and, you know, go visit them and sit in on one of their shows. And then there'll also be a bunch of podcasters around like us who don't have shows going on there, but we will be around.
Yeah. And those are great places, like we've said before, to just go in and get off your feet for a bit. And regarding us, I mean, don't forget in that Discord channel, you can, if you want to meet us and you haven't had an opportunity to do so yet, hop into the Discord channel, because we, well, myself excluded, but we will be around doing various different things. And I know that all of the hosts here would love to meet up and shake your hand and talk to you for a few minutes, or, you know, if there's a panel that everybody's going to, kind of coordinate a little group and all attend together, something like that. Just, you know, hop into that Discord channel and talk to us. That's what it's there for.
Yeah.
Let's see. Whose line is it? Alderaan? They're doing kind of a comedy improv thing on the fan stage at 11:45. That might be interesting. There's a panel on video game writing, which I think would be interesting, but I don't think I'm... Like, I think the days of any possibility of me doing that have long since passed. But there's a Star Wars Resistance Season 2 sneak peek at the same time as the Warwick Davis presentation. I'm a little surprised that that is not on... It's on the Galaxy stage, which is kind of the secondary stage, and it's at the same time as one of the larger celebrity presentations. I'm a little surprised by that.
I'm also a little surprised it's on Monday, which is kind of a wind down day where people may not be there. Yeah.
It kind of shows that maybe it doesn't have the reception as they wished the show would have had.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Resistance had a rough start, but I think it finished strong.
I still have to finish it. But I think they lost so many people during that rough start, though. That's the problem.
Could be, yeah.
The closing ceremony is on Monday at 3:30 p.m. I've got kind of mixed feelings about opening and closing ceremonies. I regret not going to the opening ceremony at Orlando. I've never regretted not going to a closing ceremony. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm flying out at 2:15, so.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and we'll be on the road at some point before then.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will.
Closing ceremonies are not, they're ceremonial. It's a nice thing if you like being in big groups of people that are excited about things. It's a great panel to be in.
Yeah,
but you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for the panel schedule. And I know we're running a little bit long. We had a few other tips that we didn't get to in the previous conversation. Some of which we've already kind of covered.
Yeah.
If I could kind of lightning round a couple of these, I would just reemphasize again the importance of staying hydrated, using hand sanitizer, planning time for meals, especially breakfast, and remember to balance your diet with protein. Don't just eat Snickers bars. Don't just load up on carbs and chips and stuff. You are relying on your...
such a diva.
You are relying on your body to get you through this convention in ways that you might not have in a long time. So treat it well.
If you see an Andrea, feed the Andrea. You don't want to get her pissed off at the convention.
Rule number one. It's kind of like a rancor. As long as you feed it often enough. Yeah. Plan time to sleep.
Don't get me started on rancors now, please.
There's going to be a lot of Andrea. there's going to be a lot of after convention activities going on and people hanging out, and people are going to be up late, but then they're also going to want to be getting up early. Make sure you sleep, get some rest.
Yes.
Take breaks throughout the day too. And finally, if you are traveling with kids, remember that they are not miniature adults. They need more breaks. They are going to get frustrated when they get hungry. They're going to get frustrated when they're overexerted, and they are not going to realize that that's what's going on. So be patient with them and remember that you are responsible for them and taking care of them despite all of the stuff that you want to do at the convention. So...
Does that go for me and Tim? Because I'm older than Tim. I gotta.
It sure does.
Damn it.
Bring a coloring book for him and have colors while you wait in line.
Also, anybody who takes a video of greeting Lou at the convention by saying, "Hi, Grandpa," anybody who does sends it to me. I don't
Thanks,
know.
Eric.
We'll have to have some kind of recognition for you.
Remember how he said this whole thing about punching Tim and Lou is not a good thing, and we're only joking. We're only joking about the saying hi to Grandpa.
No, that's happening. Don't you worry.
Are we only joking?
No, from across the room, I'll say yell it, just and I'll run to you. Exactly. I'm so excited now. Thank you, Eric.
No problem. Hey, I don't even get to go. I got to at least get some sort of enjoyment.
Eric, you're off the Christmas card list.
Yeah.
Ooh. Well, that's and I'm the one harsh, yelling at it. And I'm Lou not does, off the Christmas list.
Lou does good Christmas cards. I'll give him that.
Yes, he does.
All right. So to recap, the podcaster listener meetup is Saturday, April 13th at 7:30 at the ARC Bar, not the ACK Bar, at the Hyatt Regency at McCormick Place. And be sure to hit randomchatter.com/Discord to join our Discord server. And feel free to invite your friends or family who are also going. And what else? randomchatter.com/SWC schedule. We'll have a copy of the spreadsheet that we're using up there, and we will continue to update it as we get more accurate information. Anything else I'm forgetting that we need to recap on our way out? All right.
Nothing I can think of. No.
Stay tuned to Echo Base for more news on the convention as we get closer. I'm sure they're going to continue to be lots of announcements, both about the convention and about other Star Wars things, such as Mark Hamill is now doing the voice for Chucky in the upcoming Child's Play movie.
Yeah, I saw that. That's
how funny. Awesome is that, right?
No. And,
it's going to be creepy.
I hate Chucky, guys. Like, and that Mark Hamill doing the voice, it's me like, for years.
How much better can that be?
No.
Yeah. So...
Until I was 13, I was checking under my bed and in the closet. And I would tell my mother, and I would tell my mom to go check up on me in the middle of the night just to make sure that I was still there.
Now,
anybody at the convention who gets video of greeting Andrea by handing her a Chucky doll,
I would kill them.
Andrea, why were you concerned this at 13? You shouldn't have been seeing Chucky when you were 13 years old.
It was an accident. My uncle put it on the living room TV and I just ended up walking.
Started watching the movie.
It was really bad. No, it was an accident. I think they did it on purpose. But no, I hated it.
All right. Well, for more news like that, sadly without Andrea's commentary, be sure to listen to Echo Base. And for more information on Star Wars discussions in general, continue listening to The Outer Rim. I think that Fred, if he's got a link to, did you say you had a link to some of the stuff going on outside the convention as well, or was it just that one thing?
Just the one thing. The Old Republic.
All right. Well,
but I'll post it in the Discord feed.
Okay, excellent. So it's in the Discord feed. And that's another thing. That's another reason why you should check out the Discord channel, because we'll have various different links and updates in there as well. But tune in to Outer Rim for more episodes on things leading up to the convention and definitely coverage after the convention. So we'll let the news guys do the news, but we're going to give you every single minute of detail from the convention. It's going to be like reliving the entire convention for the next 6 months here on our podcast. No?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Nope.
I tried. I'm just, I don't get to go. I'm so sad. Well, give us your feedback, OuterRim@randomchatter.com. Let us know what you are most looking forward to about Star Wars Celebration if you're going. And if you're not going, what information you're most interested in hearing about after the fact, because obviously there are going to be a lot of announcements. And hopefully we'll get some streaming video coming out of the YouTube channel. Let us know what you are looking forward to, regardless of whether or not you're attending. If you are attending, don't forget to let us know about that as well. And maybe we can arrange some sort of a meetup or a handshake or something. Follow us on Instagram. We have a Random Chatter and Force Chatter account. And we have both of those on Twitter as well. You can find us on Twitter at various different places. You can't really find me, though. I exist there, but not actively. So I'm going to throw it over to Fred. Where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Freddy Wan Kenobi. That's F-R-E-D-Y-W-O-N Kenobi.
All right. Andrea, where can we find you?
Find me at Katz Bears. That's K-A-T-Z-B-E-A-R-Z.
All right. Tim, what about you? Where are you on Twitter?
I have no Zeds in my Twitter name.
No Zeds?
It's at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
You could do Tim's.
Tim's. Qui-Gon Tim's. Lou, where can we find you?
Lou Skywalker, Skywalker without the E.
All right. And Lou, you have Instagram stuff going on as well, right?
Yeah, on Instagram, it's my name, Lou Secchi, or my Six Venture account.
You know, ooh, there's a panel on photography for cosplay. I saw that. I'm sure that a lot of that could carry over to photographing action figures as well. Yeah.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
Andrea, what were you going to say?
I will be taking over the Twitter and Instagram Force Chatter feeds during Celebration. So expect a lot of pictures and a lot of random stuff coming your way.
I think we'll all be posting pictures to the Instagram version of it. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Excellent. That is good news. All right. Well, we would love it if you would help support the show by leaving us reviews wherever you are getting this podcast. Share us on social media. And as Andrea gets those updates on Twitter, be sure to respond. Be sure to retweet them, share them with other people, spread the love. Tell your friends about us as well, especially if you know that they're going to Star Wars Celebration. And let's help that community grow and get in contact with one another, because that's kind of what Star Wars Celebration is all about. Be sure to check out all of our shows at randomchatter.com. Discord, once again, randomchatter.com/Discord. We are making the Celebration channel open to everybody, though, to show our appreciation for those who do donate and help support the network through Patreon. You can get more information on that by going to randomchatter.com/Patreon. We also do open up much, much, much more of the Discord channel. In fact, we've got a little bit more activity now going on in the Episode 9 spoiler channel, if you're into that. But if you aren't, that's okay, because we've got the spoiler stuff segregated. You won't see any spoilers on our Discord server. We're very strict about that. And it is a safe, enjoyable environment for everybody to come and hang out and discuss all kinds of different aspects of all kinds of different fandoms. Also, for those who donate at the $5 level or more, we do a new podcast now called Behind the Curtain, where Tim, Lou, and I discuss various things that are kind of behind the scenes of the Random Chatter Network.
Oh, Lou is behind the curtain now.
Yeah.
Why is it just the three bald guys?
Well, wait a minute. I still have some hair left, Andrea, but thanks. My gosh.
You have early membership.
Early come membership.
Come to the bald side,
Eric.
Come to the bald side.
You know, I got a piece of mail from, what's that senior citizens group, Lou?
AARP.
AARP. I knew Lou would
Tim
know
knows.
It.
Tim knows. I have no
wow.
idea.
Wow. Oh, yeah, well, Lou's memory's going. Why did you signal Lou out? Lou, I'm so sorry that you have to be bullied
Andrea,
by such a man.
You seem so surprised by that. That we single Lou out. We do it every episode. What are you talking about?
I'm so sorry, Lou.
You're just trying to commiserate now because you were so happy about calling him grandpa and people getting it on video. And now that I told people to get video of them handing you Chucky dolls, now all of a sudden you're Team Lou. Like there's
I'm
some
always
sympathy.
I am trying to find a,
there.
Don't
a
you
way
dare.
To get back.
Oh, I know. I know you will.
Oh, okay. I thought it was for me. Never mind.
No, he means me. No, let's be clear. Yeah, no, I'm the target of that one. The music you hear in this podcast is the Cantina Band Finale by DJ Elliot, who I am very, very disappointed that I am going to miss at Celebration. I have to say that is what it ranks right up there on the things I'm sad about not getting to go to Celebration is missing DJ Elliot. So be sure to check out his stuff. As silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owner. Until then, excuse me, now I'm starting to fall apart. I'm getting all choked up about not getting to go to Celebration. If you're going, stay safe, enjoy yourself, and until next time, take care. It's a trap.